welcome to My Cape York Life, stories from the people who live on and care for Cape York.
Well, it was beautiful, fishing, out all day, hanging out with families and friends and getting together for big feastings and celebrations and watching footy every night at Bamiga.
As a child in Cooktown, if we went to Cairns, it was probably once a year, and you'd leave at daylight and didn't get to Cairns until that night.
It runs very fast, the river narrows down there. I'd come up within a metre of the top, and that's 18 metres high, that bridge.
Wadja Wadja is so nice, you've got to say it twice. It's where the rainforest meets the sea.
You know, you get people that were dropped off trawlers in Princess Charlotte Bay, and then they just start walking, and you just find them in the middle of nowhere walking along in their underpants or something. You do see some funny things in the bush.
It's amazing.
We'll always think of something, I suppose, a bit more to do and that, eh?
Yeah.
That's old Jack reckon, if you don't think you're going to do something, mate, he said, you're finished then. You've got to keep thinking, and you've got a lot you're going to do to keep you going.
My Cape York Life is brought to you by Cape York Natural Resource Management, with support from the Australian Government National Landcare Program. You can find all our earlier episodes of My Cape York Life from your podcast app, or stream it from landmanager.capeyorknrm.com.au. I'm Lyndall Scoble. This time on My Cape York Life, we're at the mouth of the Bloomfield River, south of Cooktown, on the east coast of Cape York Peninsula. A spectacular place, just across the water from where Mary Shipton grew up and where her family have lived for generations. It's January, hot and humid, during a short break from some solid, wet season rain. Mari was born in Cooktown. She's connected to some beautiful land and sea country that takes in some of the Great Barrier Reef. This country is rich with stories and culture that Mari works to preserve and share as a cultural officer at Wudjawudjal Aboriginal Shire Council. Mari and I sat down to talk by the Bloomfield River, where we spotted something big moving across the water. What is that that we can see in the river?
I can see a croc crossing across the river coming towards the beach on the other side of the map.
He's a fair size.
Yes, it is. Must be a mother wants to lay an egg or looking for something to eat, food.
So I think we're far enough away from the water if she decides to come over this side?
Yes, yes. We're right where we are. My name is Mari Shipton. I come from Wudjawudjal community. My country is sea country, Jajigal country, and also Kugunyungal country in Shipton Flat. The place where we're sitting down there at the mouth of the Bloomfield River is my grandfather's traditional owners for this country, my mum's dad, and enjoying this view, watching the croc going past on the other side of the river.
We've got some beautiful thick forest up there, hey?
Yes, that's where they say where the rainforest meets the sea.
Yeah, here in Wudjal.
Yes.
Yeah. Mouth of the Bloomfield River.
Mouth of the Bloomfield River.
Mm.
Yes.
So where did that croc go?
Probably went down there.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not going down, it's probably going back up the river along the side looking for food.
So it's a pretty still all afternoon here too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Hot and sticky.
Can you give that sense for people who mightn't have been in the far north of how it sort of feels to be in the middle of this climate at this time of year, it's January?
We just had a heap of rain for the last 2 weeks, and now all the rain stopped for today, and it's very hot and sticky. And we're sitting at the mouth of the Bloomfield River, and the tide's coming in, and the sea is very calm outside, and it's nice and blue, but the river is still dirty after all that flooding we had from the Roaring Meg.
So how much rain did you have?
Well, we had heaps, but don't know how many millimetres we had.
Yeah, lots
of rain.
Yeah. So, Mari, you were born in Cooktown, is that correct?
Yes, I was born in Cooktown. That's when my parents were both living at Shipton Flat. Mm-hmm. And I grew up at Shipton Flat, and about 3-year-old, 4-year-old, we started coming back down here, then living back down here, where my grandparents were living across the river at Bunnabilla.
So is that that place we can see across there now where the palm tree is? Is it there or is it somewhere
else? Yes, it's just there. And four of my grandfathers used to live up there. One of them was he was single, he had no wife and children, but the other three had family and children. We lived there until the Lutheran Church moved us up to Wujawujal, and then I went with my parents and my grandparents up to Middle Camp, where the church used to be.
Okay. So where is that now, like from where we are?
It's when you go past the school, yep, and you come to this tin shed.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we used to live now.
Yeah, okay.
My grandmother come from Shipton Flat. Her grandfather was Bolton King. He had three wives, and that's where all the generations come from. And a lot of them were stolen generations. They were sent to Palm Island, Yarrabah, Urubinda, all down that way. And my grandfather, he's from Yalanji country, Wujawujal. But I do a lot of work with on land and sea and up Shipton Flat area.
Because you've got those connections,
yeah,
both ways.
My great-grandmother come from Trevidon Falls, Black Mountain.
Ah.
They call that Black Mountain Kalkajaga, means spear.
Means spear?
Spear.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were saying this this Yalanji country here, how far does it extend along the...
The sea country stretch from Cedar Bay National Park right down to up to Dockrells, to that area. And then we stop from there, and then it stretches again from Millilea Creek right through to the mouth of Imogen Creek.
So that's at the northern end, sort of around Cape Tribulation, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So people who are listening might know Cape Tribulation,
yes,
as a place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a lot of country, and it's very beautiful and very special country.
Yeah. And what we like to see is we like to run our own tourism on both land and sea.
Yeah.
We like to start a riverboat cruise, take people up and down the river, show them places, or take them out to the reefs, to our Great Barrier Reef outside.
Because that's pretty close here, isn't it?
Yes.
That sort of comes right in.
Yes. Not only that, our country stretches right down to Agent Court Reef. But no tour operators come and talk to us about it.
Yeah.
Like, we like to go down and connect with them and work with them.
And so that's, it's pretty important when you're coming through this country to be able to have a feel from the traditional owners about country, and so people can understand, because there's lots of special places.
Yes. I worked in the community for a very long time. I worked there since the Lutheran Hopewell Mission Board was running it, the Lutheran Church. And then when the Lutheran Church stopped, we had CDP come in.
Yeah.
ATSIC came in, took over, and that's where I started working as a Centrelink agent, and from there I worked as Centrelink agent for 20 years.
20 years? That's a long time, yeah.
And then I pulled out for a year, and then I started working with Balkanu as a turtle and dugong sitting on the steering committee. With other rangers from Cape York.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that helped set the direction for how the rest of the world
manages.
So that you Aboriginal people have a say in how their land and seas, particularly the sea country, is managed?
Yes. At the moment we don't have a permitting officer, and I was supposed to be a permitting officer for giving our permits to hunters, but our funding stopped on the 31st of December 2016, and that's when the organisation stopped also.
Okay. So So that's always a bit of an issue across, I suppose, everywhere, but particularly for more remote places where you have these funded programs and you get some good stuff happening and then the funding stops, so the program can't continue?
Yes, that's very sad because we need a permitting officer.
Yeah.
Like, we like to go back on country and start building, taking our children, grandchildren back, you know, back on country, but it's not really happening.
Okay. So these positions that you're in now, so you're working as a cultural officer with council.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that role and what you do and what would somebody come and talk to you about?
Like, if someone comes and talk to us about culture, well, we'll explain what culture is all about, and then if they want to go out on country to Yalanji country, we go to the rightful traditional owners to take them, smoke them down, do welcome on country. Mm-hmm. And it's happening in the three clan group, so that's why we want to uplift our culture up again, because our language is already dying too.
Mm.
And we like to see our young people go back on country and start learning. Mm. So my generation, if we're going to pass away, the next generation won't know anything about land and sea and our culture and our language.
So what kinds of things will you be doing?
Well, at the moment, what we're doing now is like our CEO comes and talks to us, our mayor, and then we tell them, you know, you go and talk to the rightful TO. If you want to build a house there, you go check with them first. There's no sacred site there. But a lot of them, they ignore us, you know, the contractors ignore us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we like to see more houses built on country.
Yeah, for local people.
Yes, for our local people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we like to work closely with Jabulbina. And here I'm sitting there and talking to Lindell, and now the jolly croc, the biggest croc is on the shore and they're lying down.
So this is a pretty special interview, this one, I think, to have that croc appearing over there.
Yes, and I was telling Lindell and Nelson is when you want to do interviews with Billy and I, it's best to go out on country because you can see things. And you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mari, you grew up in Cooktown, around Cooktown, only until you were about two, and then you came back down here to Woodjall, is that right?
Yeah, I came back to Bloomfield River.
To Bloomfield River, yeah.
To live with grandparents. My mum and dad, we all lived over there, across the river at Bunnabilla.
Yep.
There, and going to school at the old Bloomfield school, we used to row by dinghy.
Yeah.
The old people used to take us in a dinghy. But back in those days, there was no croc.
Yeah, okay.
Just good old days.
Yeah.
Where we can swim, go spearing.
Yeah.
Young boys used to go spearing. Yeah.
So what was it like when you grew up? What was it like living here, and what was it like as a kid? What did you do in your spare time?
In those spare times, what we used to have, we used to go fishing along the bank there, walk down the beach here, row from Bunnabilla here to the mouth of the Bloomfield River here. Or we used to climb up to Georgie's Yard.
Where's Georgie's Yard?
Georgie's Yard is back up where Bunnabilla there. We used to climb up there and we used to go for dig scrub and nest. And we learned a lot of things from our grandparents about culture, but they was really strict with us.
Mm.
That's how we grew up. Even when we went to the Bloomfield School, our teachers used to get cane across our hand.
Mm.
Even our parents used to hit us back in those days.
Mm.
That's why for us, we grew up in a strict. We had no phones back in those days, no TV, just a little wireless, little gramophone we used to listen to. The old people used to listen to gramophones, and we used to listen too. Yeah. But when we was growing up, it was better than what it's now like, because all the medias, all those technical things like iPad, mobile phones,
yeah.
Facebook. Back in those days, it was good. We never had those.
So that meant that you got outside and you did things and you listened and you learnt.
Yeah.
And from family.
And back in those days, we used to learn more about culture. Well, we learnt a lot. But now young people these days, they don't realise what it's like to learn about culture, you know, because they just ignore the old people. They just walk away.
How did that happen? How did we get to that stage? I know there's so much history for Aboriginal people, recent history, which has changed things tremendously. So how did we get to that stage now? How did you get to that stage for your kids to be disengaged? Do you think it's just part of the technological world, or is there more to it than that?
I think it's part of the technical world.
Yeah.
All different governments coming in, different prime ministers, different organisation.
Mari Shipton, cultural officer at Woodjawoodjal Aboriginal Shire Council. We're sitting by the river, and the crocodile that we've been watching throughout the interview has just decided to hit the water again and make his way to we're not quite sure where. So we've just sitting quietly by the river for a bit, having a bit of a yarn. As we're sitting here watching this croc, Mari's telling me about how every year the community hosts school kids who come up from the south to learn about Aboriginal culture and spend a couple of weeks in Woodjawoodjal and Ayton and the Bloomfield River and the beautiful surrounding country. She's telling me about how the kids come and go fishing, the elders take them crabbing, they make damper on the fire, and beautiful damper scones on the fire, which are something pretty special if you haven't tried them before. And she says that the kids get lots out of that experience, and they ask lots of questions, and they're incredibly curious. And Mari also wonders about what their parents might think when they go home, and what the kids think when they go home, and how much they're enjoying their time here. But every year, the school keeps bringing more kids back, so I reckon they're probably having a pretty good time and learning heaps along the way. Because it's a pretty different experience for these kids. They're from the city, and it's a long way from where they're from, and both culturally and environmentally, the place is pretty different.
Oh, you better hurry up. You told us and then you missed out. We was right there watching the croc cross the river.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
We're keeping a close eye on that croc, which is pretty easy, actually, because he's sitting on top of the water and looking like he owns the place.
Lucky we can, Daniel.
I reckon.
Lucky you said we're going to go to a place where it's not windy.
You never would have seen her otherwise. I think crocodiles are just such an amazing creature because they're survivors, aren't they? You know, they've been here for such a long time. And
yeah.
Look at that over there.
But to us, like, it's a dangerous species.
Yeah.
This river used to be full of dinghy, people fishing in a dinghy.
Oh, yeah?
But now you don't see no one now sitting in a dinghy fishing.
So because they're aggressive?
Yes.
So people won't even fish off the banks?
We fish off the bank,
yep.
But not off a dinghy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kids used to swim along the bank.
Yeah,
but not anymore.
Okay, not anymore, no, you wouldn't, would you? Too many.
Yeah, and now it's going right up to the falls now.
Yeah.
And there's danger where we have little kids walking up to the crossing.
Yeah.
Want to go swimming without an adult.
Oh, yeah. As we're sitting here, Mari tells me about her hopes for the future. She's particularly keen to get kids back out on country and making sure that the young people are learning about culture and learning the stories from the old people and from the elders. She wants to make sure that that tradition is handed down and that kids are learning language and that they're appreciating their history and where they come from. Because it's a technological age these days, and it seems that kids are spending more time on their devices than they are out on country. The croc's on the move. He's heading down the river, And so are we, because it looks like the weather's about to set in. And I'm incredibly grateful to have spent this time with Mari Shipton on her country here at the mouth of the Bloomfield River. My little home is Cape York. Next time on My Cape York Life.
Some were pretty ticklish at the times, things that happened in the bush and that. Yeah, like when you jump off a horse to throw a bull and you got to look for a tree to climb. Sometimes you miscalculate whether the bull's been run enough and you jump off and he wheels around and wants to chase you. So, yeah, it was pretty touchy. A lot of times you got it knocked around and you didn't go straight to any medical assistance. You just kept on carrying on. A lot of blokes did that in the past and they probably do it at present.
Alan Wilson, nearly 40 years on Cape York Peninsula, and he's seen and done almost everything. I tell you my little home is Cape York. My Cape York Life is a podcast made by Cape York Natural Resource Management. Look for previous episodes at our website or search My Cape York Life on your favourite podcast app. I'm Lyndall Scoble, and I'll see you next time on My Cape York Life.